This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together. Welcome to the stage, Mr. Ramesh Ranganathan.
How we doing? We good? Yeah. Welcome to Hip Hop Save My Life live. Does anyone here listen to the podcast? Yeah. Otherwise, this is going to be fucking shit. I saw a tweet from somebody, and I'm wondering if they're here, saying that they had come here thinking they had bought tickets to a stand-up show. Are they in here? Good, okay, because they would have a dreadful time. So, look, thank you so much for coming out tonight. We really appreciate it. If I explain what's going on, first of all, I'll explain what's going on with the cameras, okay? I know you understand what cameras are. I don't think I need to explain that. Basically, I'm doing a show with Rob Beckett. Rob Beckett's not here, great news. I'm doing a show, and for that show, we are looking at the world of DJing, right? And so today, before you arrived, I've learnt to DJ. That's not true. I've spent 2 hours trying to DJ with DJ Yoda, and a bit later on, you're going to hear me do a little mix in that. It's going to be... right, now, listen... It's going to be pretty fucking sick. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't want to sort of give away how it went. What I can tell you is 2 hours is not long enough. That is sort of the spoiler I can give you. So we're going to do that a bit later on. But we're just going to have a little podcast chat. We might do a Q&A. I'll be honest with you, we did it last time and it went dreadfully. But we'll just see. Has anybody got any questions they'd like to ask at this stage? Yes? Okay, cool. I've made a mistake. But okay, what is your question?
Do you have Jamie's number?
Do I have Jamie's number? Do you mean Jamie Redknapp? Yes, I do have Jamie Redknapp's number.
You prefer my mum's number?
You want to fuck my mum? That's a bit... You want some curry recipes? All right. She cooks other stuff, all right? It's a bit... She does a full range, all right? Don't just let her to clamber out of your fucking pigeonhole that you've put her in. She does quite a good lasagna, if that's all right with you. You fucking oppressor. Anyway. You've got a question. Couldn't give a shit, mate. Let's move on. you carrying on. Okay, sweet. Go for it. What's the question, bro?
Do you think when you started off these podcasts, you'd be doing a live one with all of us here, sitting here, listening to you, doing what you do?
Yes. If anything, I'm disappointed that there's this few people. No. Hold on, I'm still answering the fucking question, bro. Do you mind if I answer the question over here? Fucking Ramesh tribute act sitting in the front of... Jesus Christ, who come here? I'm you from the future. Fuck you, mate. All right. Let me address this question. You are absolutely right, man, because when we started doing the podcast... As you know, we didn't really have a clue. We still don't have a clue what we're doing. That's why in the first year, there were only 2 episodes, right? Because it's the most poorly organised podcast. And actually, we did it with no ambition at all. So genuinely, the fact that people have started listening to it and that you guys have come out tonight, it means nothing. It does. It means a lot. So thank you very much. Yeah, give yourselves a round of applause. It's really... All right. It was too much. I went too early for the emotional applause and that's backfired. Okay, fuckface, what's your question?
No, I wanted to say, how does it seem like to you to look into your twin?
If that's my twin, I've got some serious questions to ask about myself. Do people say that you look like me?
Even my therapist, yeah.
Your therapist? Doesn't sound like a great therapist, bro. Right, well, I'm sorry about that. How does it affect your life?
It's a very mild inconvenience.
Mate, it's not an inconvenience being mistaken for a fucking legend. Do you know what I mean? If anything, you should be thanking me for looking like you. Okay, we need to crack on with this. The questions were an error, but we might do more later if we run out of shit to talk about. So let me break down how the night's going to go. I'm about to bring out Roomagine Yoda. And then our guest today is none other than Dirty Dyke, which is going to be sick. So, without further ado, please, ladies and gentlemen, can you welcome to the stage, first of all, we'll do one at a time, I think, because I want you to get a separate round of applause each. So, first of all, can you welcome the legend, I say legend, he's a sort of, he's on the podcast, but he does so little he's barely worth mentioning. Please, could you welcome Roomash? Hey there. And can you also welcome to the stage my teacher, mentor, DJ Yoda? Roomage, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
What have you been up to?
Not much.
Cool.
I booked a holiday today.
Where are you going?
Lisbon. Yeah. Any tips? You travel?
Do I? I travel, you yeah. Travel, I do, yeah.
Any tips?
I haven't been to Lisbon.
Oh, well.
But who are you going with?
With my wife.
Are you taking the kid?
No, the mother-in-law's taken the kid. So we're away for a week. And all
right. Oh, smash time.
Yeah. A lot of pressure on
getting
that holiday.
Getting that post-baby
now.
Action. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Dust off the old boy.
I'll keep you updated.
How old is your baby now?
8 months.
8 months. Mm.
Keeping her.
You're keeping her?
Yeah.
Well, you can't put her back in the return slot, mate. Have you been away from her since
No,
she was
this
born?
Will be the first time.
This will be the first time.
Well, I am at work. But
yeah, no.
For a stretch.
Yeah.
No.
But overnight, I mean.
Will it be bad?
I mean, I'm away from the kids and I couldn't give less of a shit. But I think for my wife, it's difficult.
Yeah.
Lisa finds it tough. Yeah. Are you nervous about missing your kid?
No.
And what
I'm not giving you much here, am I?
Well, I mean, we're already running out of chat and we're like 2 minutes in. What are you going to do in Lisbon?
I've been given a few tips. Sky Bar.
Sky Bar, yeah.
Yeah, apparently that's
well,
good.
That got a real...
A recognition.
Got a real frisson of recognition there. I think people are pretty excited to hear that pans out. Yeah, what else?
Give them what they want, mate.
Yeah, what else?
I don't know. Anyone got any tips?
Anybody got any Lisbon tips? Smash.
Smash. What's that? Like the instant potato?
Oh, mate.
What? Too soon?
Yeah. Don't listen to this guy. He thinks he looks like me. So horrible to be told you look like one of the most ugly men you've ever seen in your life. Do you know what I mean? Both your eyes look in the same direction, though. So I don't see how you could be mistaken for me. Yoda, how are you, mate?
Good, yeah. I mean, apart from teaching you to DJ, that's kind of broken me a little bit.
Yeah, you weren't happy.
Well, it's not a two-hour thing, mate, is it? It's
no.
It's a 20-year thing. That's what we kind of concluded.
Yes, we suspected it might be,
yeah.
And then I had a go, and it confirmed it.
Yeah, it turns out you need to practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How is life treating you generally?
Good, man, yeah. Just doing random things every day. I was in a cinema in South London DJing last night.
Yeah. What were you DJing?
Well, I do these kind of AV shows, so, and it was the opening of a cinema in Crystal Palace. So they had me up on the big kind of cinema screen. I was mixing all bits of movies with music.
Has anybody seen Yoda play? It's like, if you haven't, it is next level, man. You got to check it out. And... what's great is I'm now as good as him.
So that's been a real
better,
bonus. For me. Yeah, it's been a real bonus for me. So you've got an album coming out soon, right?
Yeah. Single came out a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Album's done, but it'll come out early next year. And yeah, it's kind of a bit more kind of soulful, jazzy kind of thing. A bit more songs and yeah, it's not very rappity rap kind of an album. Like I just switched it up for this one. Yeah.
So what made you move away from the rappity rap?
It's boring. Bored of rap now.
Bored of rap. Yeah. Okay. Well, this is your it's the right night to announce it, mate.
I'm not really into hip hop.
Right. Yeah. No. Okay. Cool. So, and when is it coming out?
Early next year. Yeah.
Early next year. Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. Sweet. And have you got any records coming out?
No.
Have you? Well, what is your musical? Do you have any musical talent? Sounded very aggressive. You don't need to.
No, I don't. I played the violin when I was 8, and then I dropped it, and my mum and dad made me pay for it to be fixed.
You are so fucking ghetto, aren't you?
Do my bit.
Yeah. Did you really play?
Do you
the
have
violin?
Any musical talents apart from DJing?
I used to play the piano.
What happened?
Well, this is so fucking boring. But,
is it?
But my mum and dad were desperate for me to learn the piano, so they paid for me to get piano lessons, but we didn't have a piano. So every week I would turn up and play a song that I was singing for the first time in my life. And then she would go, let's see how you get on next week. And I would come back and I'd be worse.
You've got exactly the same problem with piano that you got with DJ. You have to practice this.
I just want to do shit that doesn't require any practice. That's why I'm doing stand-up. okay, well, look, let's crack on because the banter well has run very firmly dry. ladies and gentlemen, please, can you give up? Basically, this guy is one of the most exciting guys in UK hip-hop right now. He is amazing, and if you haven't heard his stuff, you need to check it out. Please, can you welcome to the stage the one, the only, Dirty Dyke!
Two drinks.
Hello, mate.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well.
What you got? Well, we're all drinking your drink. So what? You basically.
You've barely touched yours.
Me?
I've had three, and you've had that.
Have you had three?
Down it.
What? Can you explain to us what this is?
That is
liquid heroin.
It's gin, elderflower, cordial. A bit of cucumber, some bruised mint, and some sparkling water.
Such a hip hop drink. It just says
that's
rap hip-hop. Music, doesn't it?
How do you bruise mint?
Like that.
Is that what it is, really?
Yes.
That's spanked. That's spanked mint you're talking about.
You could punch it if you wanted to get really hip hop about
it. I really want to like fucking like a racial attack. Do you know what I mean, mint? Just really kick the fuck out of it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
You could headlock it, slam it on the floor. But
yeah. How are you, mate?
I'm really well, yeah. I'm good, thanks.
Yeah. What have you been up to recently?
Just drinking gin, really, and making tunes. No, I'm just finalised an album.
Yes.
And I'm just now in...
Acrylic Snail.
That's right.
And when's that coming out?
That's out on the 14th of December. And I'm just sort of...
Sorry, what the just fuck? Been sick. It sounded
they weren't ready for that news.
Somebody heard when your album was coming out and it made them throw up. That's what it sounded like just happened.
So excited.
What the fuck was that noise?
I had it down as a burp. Did you? I thought it was a burp.
That was mad. Is that the reaction you normally get from people?
I've got some weird fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was strange. So, when's it coming out? I was distracted by the guttural noise from that dying pig over there. When's it coming out?
It's out on the 14th of December.
It's only the first reaction. Sweet. I do you know that you are the reason that I got... You're the main reason for the complaints I got on my last tour, and that is because...
I weren't even there.
I know. So what happened was is that... When the audience were coming in, I had like a little hip-hop playlist playing as they were coming in.
Okay.
And one of the songs that I had on there was Return of the Twat, right? And which is one of yours. And it's a pretty fucking full-on song.
Is it?
Yeah.
issue in my back catalogue. Like, there's a lot of unreleased stuff that's a lot worse, man.
And then basically, we've got loads of people saying that I don't think this song is appropriate for a theatre. So,
why?
Thanks for that. I don't know, because you're talking about...
me being a twat.
Yeah.
You do that all the time.
Yeah, true. But I guess
if you wrap it, you get shit for it.
Yeah, I guess
it
makes it more offensive. You talk about your dick a bit on it, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do that all the time.
No, actually. Yeah, it might get mentioned. It might have been mentioned.
Yeah.
Is that such a problem? I don't know.
It's a problem for the people of Tunbridge Wells. I can tell you that for nothing. It's a massive fucking problem for them.
I've got a big following there. That's kind of weird. Yeah, yeah. I do a lot of gigs.
So, anyway, thanks for that.
That's all right, mate.
So how would you, for people that don't know, how would you describe what you did? Because it's pretty full on. Like, well, I think it's sort of quite visceral. You're quite in your face, man. I sound like a fucking NME magazine interview. Do you know what I mean? But how would you describe your sound to people that don't know?
Well, I try and avoid describing myself.
Yeah, but I've asked the question now. Fucking do it, mate.
It's a shit thing to be forced to do, isn't it, Ramesh?
Doing a noise.
I would describe. I really don't know. I struggle. It's kind of up to other people to do that, isn't it? Like,
okay.
I just do what I'm doing, and then I get all this crazy feedback, and then I go, oh, fair enough.
Because we were talking about this before, and your fans are... I was about to say strange. I don't mean strange. They're dedicated.
Yeah, they are.
In a terrifying way.
I think what I do is I offer... how do you explain it? I'm not your, like, cliche rapper, and I think the kids who don't necessarily associate with Mr. Cool Swagman on One Extra look to an artist like me because they're from Ipswich or something.
Yeah.
And they don't care about being in Shoreditch at the Cool Bar or whatever. They care about kicking a bin on a Saturday night because they've got nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
And that's what I rap about.
I'm always kicking bins.
Because let's face
this, this Shoreditch arsehole over here, mate. He fucking loves that shit.
It's the less trendier side of rap, which has proved to have quite a cult following. And I think it gets overlooked and ignored by the mainstream quite a lot when there are hundreds and millions of kids everywhere, all over the world, who listen to rap, who can't relate to this new clothes, new whatever, I don't know, whatever that weird cliche is.
So you think...
I'm normal,
but But UK hip-hop has blown up recently, right? It's got a lot bigger than it was, right? And you have got bigger than you, like, you know, you've become more popular, but you becoming more popular is separate to, you know, you were talking about the fact that you don't get as much airplay as like some of these other people. Do you think that what you do is seen as like a separate genre to like the UK hip hop that's getting played on the radio?
I don't really know the answer to that.
To me, like from a DJ's perspective, what you do kind of, it reminds me of Redman. I think that's a kind of a good comparison because it's got that kind of...
I'll take that.
So underground, but like it's about skills, it's about just representing your truth and not aspiring to jump on some bandwagon.
Exactly. You know? Whether it's... Just because it's ugly and not fashionable, it doesn't mean it shouldn't be spoken about, I think. And it's not the coolest topic sometimes, what I'm talking about, but it's a topic, it exists, and it obviously resonates independently with a lot of people.
People kick bins, man.
But it doesn't... People kick bins.
Preach, Yoda, preach.
We're all probably going to go and kick
a
bin.
No, I do.
You're a bin-kicking motherfucker.
Tuesdays, mate. Tuesday night, bin-kicking night.
Yeah. So you think the reason that you've got bigger, despite the fact that you've not getting as much airplay as you should, is just because you'll resonate with a group of people
that are unspoken to,
right?
Yeah, I think in the whole hip hop cliche thing, there's a bunch of people who love hip hop that aren't hip hop, or a bunch of people who love grime that aren't grime or whatever, but they still like the music.
Yeah,
and then you know, but there aren't many artists that necessarily reflect their home life or their bored weekends in their crap little towns. And I grew up like that. So I rap about those things. I don't rap about really gloss and glitz and glamour and blah, blah, blah. And,
yeah.
You know, I rap about self-deprecating honesty. And I think that isn't necessarily the easiest thing to market from a big mainstream platform.
You're right.
We do it ourselves and it works.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm from Crawley, mate, so I know exactly what you're talking about. Any Crawley people in? Sweet. Are you really from Crawley?
Yeah.
Where in Crawley are you from? Okay, fuck you, mate. You fucking airport prick. You ain't from Crawley. Don't ever claim Crawley, mate. Do you know that? Absolutely disgusting. Okay, well, look. If you haven't checked out Diet Stuff, you've got it, man. It's so good, mate. We're massive fans.
Thank you.
How did yourself get into hip hop in the first place?
I was just a little kid at school, and then the older kids were listening to Slick Rick, and that was the thing. And it's weird because I grew up in Cambridge, and that's the last place you would expect a kid in the 90s to start bumping NWA and
yeah.
all the rest of it. But that is what happened. All the kids that were older than me, they listened to gangster rap, and I got well into that.
Yeah. What do you remember? What the first artist, apart from Slick Rick, do you remember any of the first artists that you listened
Eazy-E
to?
Blew my mind as a child. I was terrified.
What about? Okay, so what about Eazy-E? Blew your mind?
He's a reckless, shameless arsehole. and I rated that attitude. It was free. He said
the F word. That's what I liked about it.
Yeah, I loved that.
Yeah, it was really
exciting.
When I first
heard the word fuck on a record,
I so clearly remember like hearing NWA for the first time, and just I was not even about the music. I was just like, yeah, saying fuck so much.
I know.
Like, I just want to hear this tape on repeat.
It's weird because like Straight Outta Compton was such obviously a seminal album, but I sometimes wonder if they'd done a track in it just called Fuckity Fuck Fuck, if I still would have liked it as much. You know what I mean? Like,
isn't that an NWA tune?
It probably is. Like, Fucky Pussy Fuck Motherfucker Fuck. That would have been like, I'd have loved it. So you were listening to mainly gangster rap, right?
Yeah, but my mum used to say that. She only liked it because of the swearing. And it was when she said that and snapped all my tapes up that I realised that wasn't the reason I liked it at all. It was, I grew up on like old Motown and soul stuff because that's what my parents listened to.
Yeah,
and it was only when we had that argument, as you know, with my mum as a kid, that it wasn't just the swearing. I like the music. If you took away the vocal, I would still listen to that. And it was. I realised then it was because it was all music that you brought me up on, being chopped and repositioned and bigger drums put on it with a bass line.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was obviously the reason I liked it. Because so it's her fault.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying about Motown, but like, you take someone like Lionel Richie, and if Hello was like Hello,
I would chop that up and make a banger out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Did she really snap your tapes up
all the time? I've had about the Snoop Dogg Doggy Style album. I must have had about 18 copies of that, and most snap in the bin. And then he headlined Glastonbury many years later, and I phoned my mum on tour in the back of a car and went, ah, he's headlining Glastonbury. What now? And she was like, things are different now, James, and put the phone down. But she snapped up 18 of his tapes, and now he's headlining Glastonbury.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I did a Latitude Festival.
Yeah.
And I'm not really a festival guy because I like to shit somewhere nice. So that's sort of like... So generally, when I'm doing a festival gig, I'll turn up half an hour before the gig, do the gig, and then leave almost immediately. But this time, I said to Lisa, like, why don't we bring the kids and like make a thing of it? Because Latitude's like a...
Latitude's got good toilets. I can vouch for that. Better than other festivals.
Yeah, but also better than other festivals is just shitting outside. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so rank. Like, at Reading, where's the toilet? It's over there. And then you open a gate to hell. It's fucking insane. And the devil's just waiting there to eat your fucking chocolate cigar. It's fucking... It's the worst, man.
I'm just saying I had a really good poo at Latitude.
Did you?
Yeah.
Go on, tell me about it.
Well, Chabuddy G was outside the toilet.
Sorry?
Chabuddy G from...
I bet that made it.
He wasn't in there with me. He yeah. was outside.
Was he doing the aftershaves and that? Freshened up for the Panali. If I'm in a situation where I can't shit somewhere nice, I would try to train my body to just reabsorb the nutrients. That's I would rather do that than go in a long drop, like one of those things where...
Glastonbury as well. Like,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
If you know the right stage manager or artist liaison, you can get a very crisp toilet in them situations.
Seriously?
Yeah, man.
Well, when I was like,
I'm talking like vases, lavender, like soap. Nice.
Are you serious?
Porter cabin, like not a long drop. Like, who's booking you, man?
Well, my agent's here, actually.
Well, when I play at a festival, that doesn't happen to me.
Seriously?
It depends which one, but yeah.
When I was a teacher, there was one toilet at the school that was behind the tech block that nobody... Because as a teacher, taking a shit is difficult. Because, like, say for example... You want to take a shit during a lunch break. What you don't want is kids to see you go in and then know the exact duration you've been in a toilet. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, Rangers fucking takes a long time to curl one out, doesn't he? Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't, it's a nightmare. So, like, there was a secret one behind the tech block that I used to go to. And I always felt like, I always said to myself, I'd go and take a shit there. And then as I'm leaving, I just thought, perfect crime. I just sort of... It was amazing, man. Those were the days. Where are all my shitting teachers at? Yeah? Sweet. Well, somebody whooped. Wow. Cool. So you listen to gangster rap. And do you remember what your first album was that you really, really got into?
Yeah, it was an Eazy album. It was called Straight Off the Motherfucking Streets of Compton. And it had a picture of him and one of those, you know, when they mugshot you, the classic American one with the height thing.
Yeah.
And they had that, and I realised how small he was. Just helped me relate to him more as a child. It's like, he's tiny and aggressive, and that's great. And I got really into that album. He had songs on there, though, like Fuck My Baby's Mama, and et cetera.
It's good that it had Mama on the end of that. That's
isn't it?
I think it's a cover of a Sinatra.
Because the thing is, it's weird that Eazy-E was the one that you clung to. Because like a lot of
that's
people,
not weird.
Yeah, but a lot of people sort of. Because did he write his own stuff?
No, I think Ice Cube wrote most of it. All the N.W.A. stuff. I think it's mostly Ice Cube who wrote that, and Dre produced it. And I think Eazy was very much a sort of pawn in the whole operation. And they just knew he had character. He was wild, mental, and his dad was Eric Wright.
Yeah,
you know. So I think they co-signed him because of his persona as a person. I think that's what I invested in his music. Lyrically is fucking terrible. Like, terrible.
Yeah, I mean, you see it in the N.W.A. film, don't you? Like, he wasn't really kind of a natural rapper. He had to get coached line by line to do it.
But it was his persona, his personal... There's stories about this dude driving through the Compton riots in a Cadillac, shooting an Uzi in the sky for no reason.
Yeah.
Just for fun, like...
We've all done
you're
that.
You're 10, man. A 10-year-old me found that shit heroic for some reason. Maybe it's because I grew up in Cambridge. I don't know.
And do you still listen to Eazy now?
I do, yeah.
And enjoy it?
Of course, yeah.
He had the best voice, right, out of N.W.A.?
Yeah, best lots of things, man. I found his whole energy magnetising. Like, this guy is fucking mental.
Does anybody know what MC Ren's up to nowadays? I follow him on Twitter.
Go on.
There's something following rappers from those days that's a bit...
Sad.
It is a bit bleak. Like, are there any Brand Nubian fans in? But like, Brand Nubian, Sadat X, like brand new, been legendary hip hop groups.
Have you watched any of Sadat X's wine tasting videos?
Okay, are you fucking joking,
mate?
What are you talking about,
mate? He does a whole series of YouTube videos tasting wine and giving tasting notes on wine. Yeah,
you see what I mean? That is so depressing. I just saw a tweet from him saying available for work.
Oh no.
But like, it wasn't going to do your garden or whatever. But like, it was like, if anybody wants me to spit on their track, just call this number. He put his phone number on the tweet.
Oh, God.
Do you know what I mean?
That's always horrible when you see that, isn't it?
Like, yeah. I'm amazed that people are sort of feeling sorry, because when I said, are there any brand Nubian fans in, nobody said anything. And now you feel sorry for a guy that a minute ago you had no fucking clue existed. It's a weird one.
I mean, they were pretty homophobic, and like there were some pretty, looking back on some of Brand Nubian's lyrics, like maybe, I'm not saying they deserve to be putting their phone number on Twitter, but there's some pretty dark stuff, yeah. Things that were acceptable in 93 that are not acceptable now.
Yeah, what is your take on that sort of thing? If it's in 93, is it okay? The reason I'm asking is, like, if you take Doggy Style, for example, that you had 18 copies of.
Yeah.
If you listen to Ain't No Fun, it's a very catchy.
That's one of my favourite songs.
Yeah. Guess Who's Back in the Motherfucking House with Some Nuts for Your Motherfucking
with
Mouth.
With a fat dick.
Oh, fat
for
dick.
Your motherfucking mouth.
Sorry. I was softening it for the kids. It depends
how you're looking at it. I mean, you play that in a club at 3 a.m, it's going off to this day. And should it go any further than that? I don't think so.
No. But I mean, it's a weird thing to announce. Like, if you say Guess Who's Back in the Motherfucking House with a fat dick for your motherfucking mouth, it suggests that you left the house without a fat dick for your motherfucking mouth, and that while you were out, you found one. And do you know what I mean? That is...
That's just the endless
otherwise, why would you announce
song,
it? Because like, you'd come back and you'd say, and go, yeah, but you had a fat dick for my motherfucking mouth when you left. I just want some background story on that.
Like, I mean, has your shit. Or get Nate Dogg in here?
Or he left with a slim dick, and then
maybe he came back with a slim dick and left. He came back with a fat dick and left with a slim.
I'd like if somebody knows the background story, tweet us. Okay. Do you know what your favourite hip hop album is of all time?
Nah, don't really have one. It changes.
Next question. Do you know? Do you have a selection of ones that are sort of up there?
Not like whole albums, because. There's always some shit in an album, isn't there?
So
I don't like have a whole album and I'm like, oh, Nas Illmatic, like, you know, I can't really just put it all into one album.
Right.
Is it because you don't listen to albums as a whole?
No, I do. That is how I consume music. I like to get the record, put it on and stare at it until it's finished and turn it, you know, that's how I do it, but...
It's so much better to listen to an album not on your phone. That's something that I've realised recently. Like,
What do you mean?
Just like, have a CD or a record or even a tape. I've got
something
a cassette
physical,
player in my car. I listen to just tapes.
Oh, do you mean without looking at your phone while it's on?
Like, not playing it off your phone. Because you.
Oh, not playing it off your phone. Right, yeah. Got you.
Because once you start messing around on your phone doing other stuff, it changes the experience. If there's any way you can listen to an album not on your phone, it's a much more, you just feel more involved.
So do you think you should sit...
Do you think
when you put an album on, you sit and the only thing you're doing for that period of time
if
is listening to
that
album?
If you've got the time to do shit like that, then that's amazing. That's the best way to do it. Like you just said, like just put it on and just watch it go around.
I like to watch it spin. It just helps, man. It's like...
Similar to Romesh's DJing style.
Just every now and again, you just perk up with a little fucking dog shit comment, didn't you, mate?
Stabbing you.
Yeah.
The thing is, I think that people that do that are in the minority now. Like, does anybody here listen to music like that? 2, 3
No one.
7 Okay, I don't know why I'm giving the exact number. It's not many people.
Not many.
Who listens to it just on their, like, while they're doing other shit?
Well, I think a lot of people just don't listen to albums. Like, does anyone just not play kind of shuffle playlists and stuff like that instead of albums?
Who listens to albums here in full? Okay.
1, 2 Oh, hang on.
I mean, we've concluded nothing. But I think
but if
what we have proved is that people will raise their hands if requested to.
Try another
like
one.
You're not going to put on like Michael Jackson Off the Wall and just stare at it spinning around in this deck because you've heard it, you know. But you might put that on to do a bit of cooking or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But so it's different. You're not. It doesn't apply to all music. Like it all has its time and its place and its amount of attention we're going to give based on how long it's been out, what kind of artist we're talking about, what genre of music it is. You can't just. You're not going to whack on an Andy C mixtape from 2001 and sit there and stare at it.
He's
while you, you know, you might get on with some cleaning.
Oh, I think Mrs. C's in.
All right, maybe you will, but...
Sorry, what's the issue?
No, I do that all the time.
You do that all the
time? You put on an Andy C tape pack tape and stare at it, turning round.
That is... How fucked up do you feel that he described your exact activity? I mean, that is mad.
That shocked me. Yeah,
you're flattered.
Yeah.
Okay, don't be. I used to love getting an album and reading the lyrics as that was like
dickhead.
Why? Why?
I'm not being funny, mate. But the lyrics are on
somebody
the song.
Somebody applauded over.
They're already on the song. You don't need to read them.
No, but I just used to. That was like your it's something to look at, isn't it? You're sort of reading it along.
See, people do. They message me all the time and they go, "Can you please upload the lyrics to YouTube?" And my response always is, I'm not being funny, but the lyrics are in the song. Like,
if you
want to leave things open to other people's interpretation. You don't want it to be really obvious. As an artist, I can't speak for you as a listener, but as an artist, you don't. If it's written out clear as day and everything's really obvious, it takes away a lot of the mystery of music. I don't know about you, but I grew up misquoting a lot of songs I loved for years, and I created my own meaning in those songs, and that's a beautiful thing. I don't think it should be that obvious. I think you should have to listen a bit harder and think about the tone of voice and not just read it as factual, literal words. That's not music.
I totally agree with you, but I also suggest you never look at genius.com.
What's that?
It's just everyone's lyrics.
Don't tell me what it is.
Is that the one they have on Spotify?
Yeah, that's the one they come on Spotify
too.
Does it come
from there with facts?
Yeah.
I look
so they probably transcribe your lyrics anyway. It's probably up there. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. But what I do like to do is put the subtitles on my own videos and watch them all come up wrong. That's quite funny.
I do agree with you in terms of the fact that sometimes what reading the lyrics takes away from is the fact that we've all heard tunes, particularly by rappers that are like, they've got really dense verses or whatever. Or it doesn't even have to be dense verses, but like we've all had it where you've listened to a tune and like months or sometimes even years later, you've suddenly caught what they meant in a certain lyric. Do you know what I mean?
That's the beauty, man. That's good. You don't want to lose that. That's brilliant.
Yeah, that does take it away if you've read the lyrics and then also listened to it and still misinterpreted it. I think you've got to ask some serious questions about yourself. Do you know what I mean? But like, I do understand what you're saying. Okay, live hip hop experiences. What do you think of live hip hop?
We're really missing the jingles here, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's not right.
Can somebody do them?
No.
No.
Well, we don't have a jingle for live hip hop.
Okay. I can't do that. So.
Okay. Oh, I tell you what we'll do. I'll do the jingle for things that you don't like about hip hop. Okay. Hey, man. Hip hop gripes. Okay, that's
good.
Is there anything you don't like about hip hop? Lyric sheets. Jingles. I think that's clear.
It's not that I don't like it. I just think it takes away an air of mystery, and I don't think things need to be. I don't think you should ask an artist what he means by that song, but I don't have like a hatred for it.
Right.
You know, do your thing. If you need to explain yourself in writing, then cool, but I don't think. But the things that piss me off in hip-hop, cliches, they annoy me. I don't like cliches.
What do you mean?
I'm not a big fan of slang. I find slang a massive cringy cliche, especially when you're past the age of 30. If you're picking up new slang past the age of 30, you're a dick because you're not on a primary school playground. It's not infectious in your life. You go to work every day and you speak to your mum. Shut up. It's not. There's no excuse for picking up new slang past 30. That annoys me. And that happens a lot in hip-hop because it's current and whatever. Anything cliche in rap, I find uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because I find it's just doing what the next geezer did before you kind of thing, you know?
So, yeah, because I guess like hip-hop's supposed to be different, but then there is a uniform to it, isn't there?
There isn't. I think there doesn't have to be. There is a sort of like, well, there is a cliche. It exists. You know, the rap cliche, the flat peak, the tracksuit, the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, I don't agree with
like
that.
Now, like, more than ever, their stuff is sounding the same.
You think so?
Oh, definitely. Like the kind of top 40 rap that you get. It's, to, yeah, I don't know if I'm just being an old man, but to me, most of it sounds the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I sort of said the other day that I think we're going for a really good period in hip hop right now, and a load of people told me I was an arsehole on Twitter because apparently that's not the case. But I think, like, I do agree with you. Like, all the stuff, particularly the American stuff that's in the charts or whatever, is pretty homogenous. But like, there's loads of good stuff being made,
there's
right?
There's just a lot of stuff.
There's just more shit to dig through to get to the good stuff.
Yeah, I'd agree with both. There's a lot of stuff, and there is good stuff too. But yeah, it's work to find it. But once you kind of lock down these artists that you respect, everything they do is good. And there is, like, I mean, I like Rock Marciano. I think he's had like 4 albums this year or something.
Yeah.
And everything he does is wicked.
Yeah, I've got a problem with him. And that is that I was recommended him by Rupert. And for me...
It was a very short conversation.
For me, that feels like an insult to my hip-hop sensibilities. Do you know what I mean? Because he knows fuck all. And to get... No, I'm joking. You love that. You love
it. I did. I sent it to you and you went, yeah, I've heard of this.
Hold on. You're making it out like I'm lying. Oh, fuck off, Mrs. Andy C. Is that you? I had an argument with Rock Marciano on Twitter a few years ago because I was drunk in Edinburgh and I came out of this gig and I died on my arse.
You thought, I'll take this out on Rock.
Yeah. I just thought, fucking, let me speak to the flip mode squad.
And they're like, what? Have you died again, Romesh?
Yeah, I'll tell you who want to take this out. So anyway, and then Rock Marciano, he tweeted that he thought that Dr. Dre's best work was NWA's album, F.L. Roth, the thingamajoo, right? And I said, are you high?
Yeah.
Right? There's no way that's true. And then he said, okay, let's go track for track. And I just started to get into this drunken argument. I'll be honest with you, not the best story I've told, but not the worst. Okay, so what are your live hip hop shows like? Does a shit crowd make a difference to you?
Yeah, of course, but then it's quite a good crowd's boring because it's a good crowd. They're already there. They love you. They're going crazy and they're shouting and whatever. And that's
It's not happened for me. But God, I imagine that's not true.
It's good winning a crowd over, isn't it?
But yeah, exactly. Yeah. Playing a gig where you feel like you're at a wedding you weren't invited to and you've got to win over auntie whoever and whatever, and then you've got this, you know, that's much more satisfying. You know, it lets you know you're capable still and blah blah blah. So I quite like to play gigs to bad crowds because it's more fun winning them over than it is walking out to 1,000 people who love your music, if you know what I mean. I prefer having to win the people over.
I guess it could be nice. It just sounds like work. Do you know what I mean? Like,
but it's reassuring, isn't it? It is work, but then you feel like
you've done something.
Yeah, like if I've walked, I play Outlook Festival and places like that, and we got the big stage with the smoke and the people, and there's thousands of them, and it's all a bit impersonal and shit. You can't single out someone and take the piss out of them and perform a song at that person with a stupid face. You know, you can't have too much of a laugh with it.
I quite like an empty gig every now and then.
Empty?
Yeah.
Oh, empty.
You can turn an empty room.
No, there's no turning. There's no one there.
You just
cancelled.
I just kind of like it sometimes. Every now and then, there'll be somewhere I turn up and there's like 5 people. And I'm like, wicked. Right. Actually, the pressure's off. And do what I like.
If you were a rapper, would you feel the same?
No, it'd be totally different to be a rapper in that situation.
I find like the toughest gigs for comics are when you do corporate gigs, when you go and do like awards or whatever, and they ask you to do like 15 minutes and then you present 20 awards for sanitation. But the money's good and I'm passionate about
sanitation.
So I take the gigs, you know what I mean? Because I just think they're providing better toilets. So, but I did one in Manchester, and
So you turn up, you wait. They're normally in hotels. You wait in a hotel room for them to come and get you, right? You've got to be suited and booted and all that shit. So I was waiting. And part of the thing when you do those gigs is you've got to, like, do the handshaking and be nice and all that kind of stuff. It's all part of the whole thing. So anyway, they came to get me from the hotel room, and the woman turned up and she said, the gig, we're ready to get you. Come downstairs. So I followed her to this, like, lift, and then she's telling me about the gig, and I'm just like, okay, cool. And then she goes to me, do we even want to be here? And I said, sorry? She goes, it's just I'm talking to you about the gig, and you just don't even look like you want to be here. And I said to her, I'm really sorry. That is my face. Like I do want to be here, but I can't. I'm just not the dude that's going to be like, I said, I'm just not like that. I'm really sorry. And then she goes, okay, fine, well, you know. She's already pissed off at me.
Well, who is this woman again? Hang on.
She's the organiser of the gig, right?
Why does it matter to her what your attitude is?
I don't know. Why do you give a shit? So anyway, so I said, I'm very happy to be here. It's like one of the best things that's ever happened. Okay, can we go and do the gig? So she goes, okay. She's fucked off for me. We get down to the gig, and then this is fucking unbelievable. This is when I realised, well, I didn't realise anything. I realised that you can't predict. Basically, what happened was, is she said to me, one last thing before you go on. I know we didn't mention it in the details, but it's a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory themed gig, and you are going to be brought onto stage by 15 Oompa Loompas. Right?
Did that really happen?
I promise you it happened. Yeah. And I said to her, do you think it's okay that Oompa Loompas in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory bring out a brown act? Like, do you think that's... And then, so then basically I had to go out.
So you did it?
So like, yeah, of course I fucking... I'm there, mate. What do I...
How much were you getting paid?
Huh? Listen, I was getting paid enough to suck off one of the Oompa Loompas. That's how much... There's literally... Nothing they could have told me that would have made me pull out of that. They could have told me that for your finale, could you fuck Willy Wonka? And I would have done it. Twice. Anyway, all I'm saying is, sometimes gigs can be difficult. Okay. What are you listening to now?
I don't know, man. People always ask me that, and I'm not really sure. Like, I often find myself just digging through nostalgic TV theme tunes, like the Grandstand theme tune, and getting very excited. I think I'm getting old. Generally I dig for things that I overlooked in the past, and then I'm like... I get a bit obsessed with a time period of really sort of shit yet nostalgic music. So I've been doing that quite a lot recently. But in terms of like current, what's going on within mm-hmm. the realm of what I do, I've been listening to a lot of Octavian, Slow yeah. Tie and Cass. They're the main three I've been listening to recently.
Yeah. Mm. Cass is like unbelievable. I mean, all three of them are great, but Cass is like fucking next level, right?
100%, yeah. Yeah, ridiculous. But, it, you know, it's more than just the music. It's the, like, it's the unpigeonholable kind of weird anonymous movie that he's building around yeah, himself. Yeah. You know, it's fucking incredible. I find the whole thing very intelligent.
Yoda, what are you listening to at the moment?
I feel like looking at my Spotify on my phone.
Okay.
Is that
in order to answer the question, or just an unrelated thing?
see what's come out this week. It's a good way of reminding me that Action Bronson album.
Yeah, that's good. Right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this was wicked. Homeboy Sandman.
Yeah.
That's actually might be my favourite album of the last few
Somebody's
months.
Finally a heard fan. A word they recognise. Yeah, congratulations. Okay.
Homeboy Sandman and E Down is on that album as well. That's amazing. And the Swizz Beatz album I thought was really good.
I like the Swizz Beatz album.
And Master Ace. There you go.
Okay, let me have a look at what I've got. Rupert, do you want to get your phone out?
Yeah.
So I've got here.
I've created a Spotify playlist called Hip Hop I Like.
Called Hip Hop I Like.
Yeah. Why did I never call a mixtape that?
There's seven tunes on it. Like new hip hop.
Have you done that?
I promise you, yeah.
Hip Hop I Like.
Is it public?
It can be.
Make it public.
So no.
Hip hop I like.
Actually,
it's just
only
like stuff with
there.
Rapping and that I'm into.
Don't talk like that.
It's a genius mixtape title, isn't it? Hip hop I like.
You go first, though.
Okay, so what have I downloaded recently? Dice Raw's album, The Narrative. Not a keen.
What year was that?
What year was that? This year.
That's a new album?
It's a new album, yeah. Wale's EP, Free Lunch. Anyone heard that?
No.
No? Okay. All right, mate. Also, the other album I got is Serial Killers, Day of the Dead, which is Exhibit, Be Real and Demrick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Good.
It's all right. Mick Jenkins' new album. Has anyone heard that? It's good.
New Little Mix, I can see there.
Yeah.
For the kids. It's a good album.
Fuck you, Rupert, man. What else? Oh, yeah, Octavian, and then Ninth Wonder. Ninth Wonder's album is... I actually said to you, I actually think I prefer the Swiss Beats one, but it's good. And then also I've downloaded... I downloaded the Black Eyed Peas album. Now, let me just... Hold on. Let me just clarify. Has anyone heard this album?
No.
Right, what do you think of it, mate?
I thought it was all right.
Right, so somebody texts me and said, mate, you're not going to fucking believe it. The Black Eyed Peas have come with the heat. Right, you've got to check out this new album. And like a fucking mug, I downloaded this album. And it's fine. I mean, you said it's all right. Yeah.
No Fergie.
No.
She's moved on.
What, Fergie's gone?
Fergie's gone, yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Now you got my interest.
I mean, have they replaced her with someone else?
No, the three of them now.
Still the Black Eyed Peas, just no Fergie.
Yeah.
Does it sound Power like move. Early Black Eyed Peas? Like,
no, it doesn't. Yeah. So like the first track on it's called like Back to Hip Hop, and it is a bit more hip hoppy, but still. What about you? What you got?
This is my playlist.
Hip
Hop I Like by Rupert Magendie.
Age 12.
Well, I'm excited.
Power, Rock Marciano.
All right.
Good tune.
I thought you say Power by Snap. Yeah. which would have been cooler.
Righteous, Ocean Wisdom, Rodney P.
All right, nice. That is a good tune.
The Hopeless Romantic, Alchemist, Action Boxing.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Doing quite well.
Yeah.
Guillotines by... Awati, Turkish, something.
Okay.
Can you read that? I can't pronounce it.
Awate.
Yeah.
And Turkish side. Okay, fine.
And Kate Tempest, Guts, with Laurel Kana. Good tune. All right, guys, chill out.
You missed one out. Vomit Spit, MF Doom.
Is that old, though?
That is old, but amazing.
But I come across it recently.
It's still hip-hop you like, though.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, I'll make it public and we can...
Yeah, if you can make it public, that'd be great. okay, sweet. Look, we're almost out of time for this section. Dart, you've been amazing, mate. I didn't sound very sincere there. Dart, you've been amazing, mate.
Cheers, man.
But I do mean it. Should we do Q&A?
Yeah.
Has anyone got any questions?
What are your views on 2001?
What are my views on 2001? Great year. Like, just... sorry, it's such a rude one joke. Are you talking about what are my views on it?
Yeah.
What are your views on it?
Brilliant album.
Cool, I agree.
Is
there
electric.
Anything controversial about that, though?
Don't know.
Have you heard this thing about Dr. Dre not doing all of his production?
Well, yeah, for years. What, that's
from me? Ever. Only from me? Am I the source on this fucking rumour? Listen, I'm only telling you what MC Ren told me.
I thought that was common knowledge that Dre isn't responsible for a lot of the things he puts out.
Really?
Yeah, he didn't write most of the songs on the Chronic 2001. Or it was.
Yeah, I know he didn't write the lyrics, but I know that was pretty accepted. But pardon?
Let's wrap it up, mate.
This guy's been waiting all night to fucking do this joke. All night he's been sitting
up,
on it.
He set that
just
up.
Just sitting there nursing a hard on, waiting to do his Steel Dre joke. I tell you what, mate, it's going to fucking smash this. I tell you, I'm going to tee it up. I'm going to ask about 2001. He'll walk straight into it. He'll start going on about how Dre's not done his own records. And that's when I know I fucking got him.
You just wait, mate. I told you I'm a legend. How come you never call me back? Okay, cool. See you later. I told you this Q&A thing was shit. Any other questions? Okay, just wait. We know how the systems work. I think we've set up a very clear system. Is that people ask and I decide who asks the question. You don't just shout out. You're on a timeout. Somebody over here said me, yes. What's
Andy
your question?
Andy C.
It's old Andy C, yeah.
So I want an answer for each of you.
Okay, it's very... I mean...
Is that, what's the question?
Really? Why is everyone in here such a fucking arsehole?
That's our audience, dude.
I'll take the blame for that. Sorry, man.
Such
sorry.
A fucking aggy crowd. I want an answer from each of you. We're not in a detention centre. Like, ask a question. Maybe you get an answer, maybe you won't. Go on then, go for it. Oh God!
And you can't say Black Eyed Peas.
I wouldn't play a hip hop tune.
Nah, a load of samples.
What would you play then?
The Grandstand theme tune, really loudly, pure eye contact.
Looking at the record,
and I'd say hip hop over and over again until they understood me.
I've got a playlist, so I refer to that. Take your pick from those six biggies.
It's public.
Next. If I could do a mic drop, it's just that.
Yoda?
I mean, I could just arbitrarily say something, but I don't know whether it's... I've put much thought... I'd probably go for maybe Three is the Magic Number by De La Soul.
Yeah.
Something from 3 Feet High and Rising, maybe. That, to me, is like what... epitome of hip-hop for me. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
You?
Fun stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. It's too hard a question, isn't it?
Let's wrap it up.
If somebody said to me, can you play a tune to me... to introduce me to hip-hop, I go, where the fuck have you been? It's like the biggest selling music in the whole fucking world. This, stop talking to me. And then I'd play him Rebel Without a Pause, probably. What about you? No, it's the lady asking the question. What would you play?
God,
I want an answer. Sure. Okay, look, it's time for a break now. Your questions genuinely have been awful. And I just want to say, I want to thank you for enabling us to finally put that section to bed forever. We're never doing it again. Please, can you give it up for the legend that is Dirty Dyke? Please give it up for Yoda and Roomage. Goodbye.